Can we be honest about South African football? Can we tell the truth about where we are as South Africa? You see, today's episode is going to revolve around a very simple question. Is South Africa a footballing nation? Or are we merely a nation that loves football? And those things are very different. And what I want to do is to critically analyze South African football from different phases. We're going to look at Banyana Banyana. We're going to look at Chiefs and Pirates. We're going to look at the general structure of the league to uncover some of the stories that we tell ourselves. To uncover some of the things that maybe we should have fixed a long time ago. Because the big difference between a nation that just loves football and a footballing nation is that on the one side, you have a nation that prides itself on the joy, on the entertainment. A lot of the times, absent of results. It's easy. It's fun. You don't have to work on it. You are there. Look at Banyana Banyana. A lot of work was done to get us that first, you know, that first glimpse of the golden generation. A lot of work was done where Banyana Banyana comes out and they're a specific team. But because of the joys of winning some of the close games, because of the joys of even winning the WAFCON, we've neglected to ask the question, where to from here? How do we get better? How do we look forward? How do we push forward? You look at some of our teams holding on to past glories that are just memories that are very nice memories. But the truth is that we haven't been world beaters in a very long time. You know, it took Nigerians. The Nigerians were going crazy in my comments over the weekend with Banyana Banyana losing. And they reminded, they made a point to remind me and other South Africans that, hey, guys, you guys have only won one WAFCON. All of the noise you are making about Dembe, about Dilda, about the golden generation, about you've only won one WAFCON. And I chose, instead of getting angry and wanting to fight my Nigerian brothers and sisters and all of that stuff, I chose to sit back and reflect and actually go. I think, personally, myself and a lot of us, we're still making the mistake that we made a while ago. I've had conversations where I've been speaking to people who've been saying that South African football is the best football on the continent. It's the best. It's as the imnand. It's yeah, we just deserve it because we're so good. Which is fine if you love it. But I think what I was missing was the part that I was advocating for in those conversations when I was saying that, you know, you hate them or love them, the Arabs have been dominating African football at the club level, let's say. And whether you believe that it's cheating or match fixing or buying the ref or ugly football or whatever, you can't take away the fact that they've done it. All of these things are alleged. You have to give them credit. That even if you say that your football is better, there's been somebody who's been best. And Nigeria reminded us of that in the WAFCON, winning their 8th WAFCON, I believe it is. So I want us to sit down and then critically analyze what was happening. I think Banyana Banyana, some great work was done by Abo Tembi, Abo Jermaine, Abo Hilda, Abo Linda, Abo Rifilwe, Abo Janine, Abo Noko. Great work has been done by Coach Desiree Ellis. You cannot take that away from them. But when you look at Banyana Banyana, you start realizing that we're heading towards a crossroads. We are heading towards a crossroads where decisions are going to have to be made. We're heading towards a place where we have to be honest with ourselves and say that a lot of work has been done, but we reached the ceiling. Kind of was Coach Lulani who said that dynasties don't die overnight. It's a gradual they die gradually. It's a gradual degradation. And you wake up a few years down the line and you think about where you went wrong. But it was just about staying stagnant. And Banyana Banyana is a top level team. But I think there's a stagnation that has happened. They've stopped right here. And what's happening is that it's not going to be a 5-0 versus Zambia. It's going to be a tough 2-0 game versus Ghana, a 2-2 versus Tanzania, a tough game, I believe it was Senegal. Then you're going to play Ghana in a third place playoff and they're going to beat you. And it's going to look... It's going to look ugly, not necessarily that bad. It won't look that bad. But what you'll start seeing is that these teams are building up while you have stopped at the top of what you're doing. And just to bring it back to the broader conversation that we're having today is about that. What happens when the joy is gone? What happens when now the struggle is starting? What happens when the honeymoon is done and you're staring down the barrel of Jermaine retiring? Okay, Tembi said she might come back, but who knows? Fifi came back and she wasn't really the player that had left. Have you done enough work to say, has it, there's something brewing there at Hollywood Bets? There's a football that they're playing, like Lapago Hollywood Bet Super League, as semi-pro as the league is, but there's a football that's being cooked there. You know, the way that Sundowns defense took over from Bojanin, and the way they're technically okay on the ball and they play on the ball, maybe you should start looking forward and saying, okay, how do we implement that across the team? What do I always say? There's a back five, a back six, and a front four. The back six plays a different football to the front four. The front four comes from hero football. They come from saving the team. They come from individual brilliance. That back six is used to playing the ball. Abo Chus. Into Abo Rabale. Eh? Into Abo Tolagele. Where there's a harmony across. And we caught a glimpse of it in that 4-0 win versus Mali in the second half. But Banyana Banyana is heading to that crossroads where it's not good enough to just be better, because now everybody's coming up. You know, I'm an Arsenal fan. Arsene Wenger brought nutrition. He's known for bringing nutrition to the league. And that was his calling card, the thing that he brought. His differentiating feature was he brought good nutrition. They had fitter players. They won the league with that advantage. But when the league caught up, they couldn't take it further. When the league caught up, they couldn't go because we're just basking in it. And you can hear it. I'm going to use international examples. You can hear it from Arsenal fans. We still value the beautiful football over the wins. We still try to stand toe-to-toe with some of the other clubs by virtue of the football that we play, and we put that above everything. Nah, I can only win like this. We need to be passing the ball. We need to look good, blah, 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 blah. Sitting in your former glories. Because a footballing nation now has goals that you have to get to. You have results that you have to win. You have to make sure that whatever football you're playing is at the bar where it's beating everybody else. Because the goal of that is not just to look beautiful on the highlights. It's to go out and win. I want to transition into the second part of what I want to speak about. Another differentiating feature between a country that loves football and a country that lives football can be seen with our Soweto Giants. There was a question, man. There was a statement, sorry, that I see a lot. There's a statement I see a lot. We need to reclaim our former glory. We need to go back to what we were. We need to do all of those things. And I'm caught up in it. I'm emotional. I love my team. I remember those days when we were lifting trophies and doing all that stuff. But then again, you have to sit down and critically analyze what has been presented to you and what is being said. What is a Chiefs and Pirates former glory? Because of those two, there's really only one that can speak about going to a Champions League and winning, Pirates in 95. But in the PSL era, those two have not been the winners that we make them out to be. We make it sound like. Pirates won. We lost one in the league in 2013. Chiefs 2016. All in all, they've got four. All in all, four. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Chiefs' league trophies in the PSL era have come from two coaches. It's Baxter and it's Baxter and Dimitri. In fact, Dimitri has a lot of other league titles too at different teams. Now, I'm not saying this to be sour. The point that I want to get to is when you say you're chasing your former glories, is your former glories just being able to win these cups at a high clip? What Pirates has done, five trophies in 3 years. Chiefs winning the Nedbank Cup now. So going back to your former glory should then be talking about winning those trophies, which is very different to winning the league. And I bring this up to say, are we having an honest conversation about what needs to be done to go and win the league? What does it mean to have to come from number 9 to go and win a league? Have the structures that you've created been built in order to carry that burden and go and win those trophies? Specifically the league? Specifically the Champions League? Have you been built for that in all of your history? Consistently so. I remember a time when I didn't care about the Champions League. Couldn't have cared less about the Champions League. I vaguely remember Al Ahly when there was a goal where the ball hit the bar and hit Brian and went in. I briefly remember, but to say that I'd been chasing a star as a Chiefs fan, I couldn't care less. Even now, let's be honest, if not for Mamelodi Sundowns, I don't think as a country we care enough about the Champions League to want to go and fetch it. So I'm going to look at Chiefs and say, I think before you go and play Asante Kotoko, before you go to Netherlands, before you think about continental success, I think you have to weigh the two things. I think the fight to take a team from number 9 to number 2 to number 1 is a different fight than going from number 1 to a Champions League. And I think that part of what is guiding or misguiding some of what Chiefs is doing is that we've got this ultimate goal of trying to get to the Champions League. But we're not tooling ourselves to come and fight this fight over here. You know what I loved about Mamelodi Sundowns bringing Coach Pizzo? What I loved about Mamelodi Sundowns bringing Coach Pizzo is that Coach Pizzo, I think, was found at a very nice transition point where he could still dogfight with the best of them. Sundowns is in relegation when he takes over. He can still dogfight. But he still then understood that, okay, this is how you win the league. And then now we have to go tackle that thing up there. I think Coach Nebbi probably does way better this season with the Confed. I think if he comes in at a different time, he's one of the best coaches we have. But for where he is right now, where it's a dogfight, you're not looking at Sundowns and Pirates or Stellenbosch or even Skukune. Fam, you're fighting number 7, number 8, number 6. You have to be consistent right there. You have to beat Abo Atazwane. Are we solving problems that, long story short, are we solving problems that we shouldn't be solving? Or problems that we have nothing to do with having those problems in the first place because we've got real problems? Oh, chances created, all of that stuff. Yeah, you have to learn how to 1-0 win versus Magesi consistently. You have to learn how to 1-0 win versus all of the other teams in order to get to a certain place. I don't know if Flavio Silva can give you that. I don't know if Chislet can give you that. I think maybe there would be great players in a team that has succumbed all of that and is going to go play elsewhere. But there's a certain technical, local knowledge that you need to have in order to, you know, push Nyan. We look at Orlando Pirates. Also, team that is incredible at cup games. But in terms of league consistency, it's here that they need to work on. Because we've clapped hands for the 5 trophies. Joining in that season. Now Pyramids in this season, I'll give them credit. They've gone a little bit further. Pyramids in this season. When they sat and critically analyzed, and maybe he proves us wrong, Abdeslam Wadu, can he win you a Champions League? Should the question not have been, okay, now that we are here, the hard question is, how do we go from here to Al Ahly? Does that maybe look like getting in some of the coaches that have done that before, now that you've laid yourself up? Now that you've put yourself at that level, to challenge yourself a bit more. Now, I'm not saying that Pirates won't do well. Please, don't misinterpret the questions I'm asking. But I look back at Pirates and I'm going, we've seen what Sundowns has had to do consistently in order for them to be where they are. Is Pirates built for that right now? Is Pirates built to go and do that season after season after season? Is Apolis enough? Is Mbule enough? Is all of that enough? And while I'm on those two teams, the biggest lesson I learned from the preseason again goes back to the point I was making. As beautiful as some of the football looked from Pirates, the turns, the gambule, the passing, the movement. I watched those games and I thought to myself, but a full time, you lost. Full time, you lost to a team that just, they killed you on basics. I remember the Paphos game. I think it's Paphos. I think they drew that game, but I remember the Paphos game. And I'm watching Pirates' movement and I'm like, oh, wow, these guys look so incredible. Chigi Chigi, one simple counter-attack and there was a goal. Ow. I watched them and I was like, when you watch the play and you actually now break it down, you start to see the gaps between the players. Banyana, Orlando Pirates, Chiefs, sometimes Sundowns. You start to see the gaps between the players and you start to see that, oh, you guys haven't done the work, the boring work, the, okay, what does an overlapping run look like? You know, one of the big questions that I've always asked now was, are we doing enough to develop the role players around the stars? You've got a Limfukeng, but does the rest of the team understand what needs to be done when you've got a Rile and you need to set him up for more? Are you there for the wall pass? Are you there for the through ball? Are you there for the decoy run? I watched Umfundo Vilakazi this past weekend in the Toyota Cup. There was a specific play where he's got the ball on the right-hand side and no one is available. no one is creating the base to which then he can go to Mfundo Vilakazi stuff. So now it's almost like I've given you the ball. I sit back and I go, ooh, just go. I just go. Yo, hi, Sebenzile. I gave you the ball. You're going to go magic something up. Watch the Chiefs game, especially up front. It's a lot of hero ball, similar to what happened to Banyana. Back to the topic at hand. Are we a nation that loves watching Mfundo get the ball and maybe not be able to score? Or are we a nation that goes, how do we facilitate our stars being even more stars? How do we facilitate the movement of the whole team? You've now done the job of finding the star. Can you now make sure that that star can be consistent and not have it up to them? Because a lot of our football in South Africa, if we're being honest, it's a charity game. It's a charity game. Everything is left up to chance. When a player is good, it's up to them to eat right. It's up to them to do extra work. It's up to them to be shielded. It's up to them to do all of those things. And sadly, if you don't have the right backing or background, and unfortunately, socioeconomically, we don't have people that are used to those things backing us. It's up to you to. Whereas when you look at Europe, guys from age, I don't know, 10, you'll find that Mbappe has been on a regiment that is not up to him. That is not up to him and him be, it's up to the club. The club goes, okay, we need to create these guardrails. We need to create these extra spaces where he can get better. We need to make sure that they don't go out on these nights. We need to make sure that this, make sure a lot of that, the boring stuff, is what makes them superstars. A lot of the boring things on the pitch, you've got incredible talent, my guy. You are amazing at what you do. You've got step 1, 2, 3 down. It just came naturally to you. But we're going to teach you 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Why do you think we send our players overseas? We don't send our players overseas or want to send our players overseas because they're the finished article and we want to see them outside. We send them overseas so that they can learn these skills. When Benny came back and he was killing everybody while being slightly overweight, while not being able to run as fast or move as well, but here he had learned so many of the fundamentals that we don't have. That came from that side. Now I'll ask the same question every single time. Do you think that Pirates' facilities are that much different than some of the top clubs that side? Chiefs is often lauded as having the best facilities. Bo Al Ahly, they get shocked when they get here. You're telling me that you cannot find coaches that can develop those things. You cannot find people that are dedicated to doing that. I speak about analysis all the time, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the analysts at the teams. But what I'm saying is I watch the games live with people. And with some of the teams, you can already tell the patterns. And you think to yourself, I'm sitting at home, guys. I don't have a degree, a qualification, a badge to my name. And I can tell you what's going wrong on the screen. You should watch my live show when we're doing watch-alongs. They can tell you, they can break down everything. We don't have badges to our names. I could already tell you that Banyana Banyana's biggest weakness has always been high balls. Teams come out and they come and play versus Banyana Banyana and they can't. They struggle. It's tough. Then they go, yo, hey, Gunzima, let's start going wide and crossing. And I look at the bench and I go, but guys, you've seen this happen. We talk about the Ghana game. Yeah, we played Ghana before. They hit the post twice in the dying moments of the game, in the last one, in the second half. You know it's coming. Why aren't you doing something about it? oh no, we, the height will always be shorter. Cool. Back five, track the winger, make sure a cross doesn't come in. Back five, they're killing you far post. Two players far post. Okay, the ball is coming in high. Don't let the person get a running head start, like the Ghana running head start to go and score. When you're in that rail, in that place, stick to your man. And make it tough for them to jump. Make it tough for them to header. So that even if they get the header off, as sometimes you have to be a clever nyana, a grounding. But just like Banyana, just like the PSL, a lot of the time the teams come in with one thing and I shame, if it works today, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Are we a footballing nation that rests on its laurels? No, my sevens are sevens. When it doesn't work, I'm watching Chiefs right now. Same patterns of play from last season. The defense looks a little bit better. Tetwa Tlele have a little bit of a future, I think. But up front, still watching the striker Flavio drop into the spaces that Morris was dropping into unsuccessfully, that Chiva Vairo was dropping into unsuccessfully. And I'm saying to myself, but guys, preseason, what, y'all are still going to do the exact same things. You know, there's a tactic they do where the right back pushes into the space between the right wing and what's meant to be the striker, and they become sort of a striker. Very weird. I also saw it Banyana with Ramalepe, but anyway. And I'm like, okay, I see you doing that. But then if Mfundo's high and Munyane's high and Tele's left his post, what happens in transition when you get caught out, which is something that has happened a lot last season? Now, I'm just giving you basic examples. But again, have you done the work to sit down and figure out what's going on? You look at our clubs. The last part I want to touch on. You look at our clubs. Chinchwabo coach every day. Skukune is now Cape Town City-ish, you know. Durban City has now gone Gavin Hunt and Ernst Middendorp that way. We're seeing Makesi firing ODG or not renewing or not getting ODG back and bringing in John Maduka. No disrespect to any of these people. But where's the forward motion? Like, Imakesi, you won a trophy last season. Fine, Hendrik Larsson wasn't doing the job in the league. He leaves. You bring in ODG. ODG not only saves you, he takes you to, I think, 10th. The logical conclusion of that would say, okay, ODG, let's give you the season. Continue this forward momentum that you had. Lihlonolo Siema is hired today, fired tomorrow, rehired the next day, fired again. Then you, Hebana. And I know this sounded mad disrespectful when I said it, and I don't mean it in that sense. But if you're a club that's trying to move forward, that's trying to do new things, that's actively trying to win, that's actively trying to get better, I don't think Eric Tinkler is the name you look at. I don't think Gavin Hunt recently is the name you look at. I think if you want to maintain what you were doing and carry on basically giving these guys all of the work to do. I get it then. You're not trying to change anything. Then Chigi Chigi Ziawa. SuperSport found a great model, stuck with it, but because they were refused to get better, they refused to put the resources behind it, they refused to go, okay, how do we move forward? Do you know what happens? The league catches up, you guys start faltering, The old tricks don't work the way the old tricks worked, and you're gone. Because you didn't do the work to look at this super sport and say, fine, it's very nice. It's so nice to be funded by MultiChoice. But we need to make sure that if MultiChoice ever sneezes, or if MultiChoice ever leaves, we can be a going concern. If not even for them to leave, for them to look at the balance sheet and say, yo, hey, sebenzile SuperSport. This is how much money has come in. Abu Cape Town City, if you don't do the work to improve, not just stay stagnant, to improve, one day, you're not going to be able to arrest that fall. And one day you'll find yourself in the first division, losing everything. Having to struggle to come back up. I'm a Tux alumni. Tux is the team that obviously I supported at the time. Miracles had to be done every single year. Instead of going, this could be an incredible investment for the future. When the miracles run out, you fall. Take it to the national team. When Abu Sheikh Mashaba and Abu Chobo Sono are unable to carry on saving you carry last minute every single time, what will happen is that you will fall to the wayside because you have not done the work. Begum Nandi in 92 when you come out and nobody knows what you are. And you can shock people and you can play football. And Abu Stan, Abu Prasten, our Dr. Ivan Kwaza, our Dr. Keza, they're coming out swinging. When Safa still knew, hey, Sasem, they're coming out swinging. When you're riding that wave of the initial advantage you had, if you don't do the work to get better and look forward and be honest, you're going to falter. When you can no longer go into Africa and get the buy one, get two free deals, you're going to falter. When you can no longer have the gentleman's agreement that there's two teams that spend the most money or that spend money and then everybody else plays their role. The moment somebody comes in and says, ha, I'm not about that life, now you're staring at eight leagues where you've watched one team raise the trophy. And I urge us, as the people who watch football, I urge us to be honest, Nati. Stop with the excuses.
Oh, which team? Does it make financial sense for a team to spend more than what the league prize money is?
Tell me one league winner in the world that doesn't do that. Did you know that the English Premiership is about 50-odd million pounds? Arsenal, a team that hasn't won the league in 20 years, Arsenal will spend 100 million in Declan Rice. Our Chelsea will be looking at Mudryk for 90 mil. How many signings do you make? That's not an excuse. Because the truth is, to compete, you have to go do that. Sundowns showed us. Still, as Sundowns is spending, they don't outspend Abu Al Ahly. You see, with the titles. That's the truth of the matter. Manje masolo kusihlala, no, we're feeling better about ourselves. No, but intwani mnandi, guys. Oh, look at how amazing he looks. Oto iskola. There was a game I saw where these kids are dribbling. We won one. And it's entertaining. It's fun. Ah, it's beautiful. Oh, wow. Look at them. It's 1-1, guys. I feel the exact same way with our league. Instead of sitting really down and saying, no, Yazin, Tuan, we're going to get you a movement coach. We're going to get you a finishing coach. On my holiday, we want you to go overseas by yourself. And you're going to go to this club that we've spoken to and you're going to learn movement. We're going to do video analysis. We're going to, hey, Yazi, we're going to make sure. I don't think these things are too far removed from what our clubs can do. But yet, Baba figure grounding, you're like, aha, guys. Hi, guys. Are we a nation that just loves football? Or are we a footballing nation? Are we willing to do the things to make our football better? Are we willing to be honest with ourselves about our football? Where it lacks, where it doesn't. What we can, what we can't work on. What needs to be strengthened. They do this every day. Nami ungibona ngilana. Guys, I study. I'm trying every day to get better. There's no books for what I do. We're trying to evolve and change and switch up sound and do this and do that in order to continue getting better. That is not slacker, I'm not going to lie, but we're trying our best to get better. And can we say that about our football? Or are we just going to be stuck in this full honeymoon phase? And because we're stuck in the honeymoon phase and have not worked on the things we need to work on and improved on the points where the people before us have come. Are we going to look for, have to now find the next Tembi, the next Fifi, the next Hilda, the next Linda, the next Jermaine? Similar to when we had to go find the next Nompumelelo Nyandeni, Abo Amanda Dlamini, Abo Portia, Abo Desiree in a panic and still put them in the same situations? Or are we going to look at it and make the brave decisions to go, okay, guys, maybe this should be a team-based banyana. Maybe Abo Coach Tina and Abo Coach Morden, they need to come in. Hey, Chiefs, Pirates. Can we stop signing 100 players? That's another one. That's another one. By the way, just sidebar. Oh, how do you spend so much money? Guys, you think all these players that are signing for Chiefs and Pirates as free agents are completely free? You think those things don't add up to a hell of a lot of money? Got a signing bonus, signing fee. Just because it's a free agent doesn't mean there's no money that's transferred, that isn't transferred up top, up front. You wait for a free agent because instead of spending 10 million to sign the guy from a club that you have to negotiate against, you go and get a free agent that you only have to pay 500,000, a million as a signing on fee. Add those things up and tell me what the finances look like. That's another thing. We don't know the finances like that. But in any case, can you coordinate what you're doing as a league? If you are forced, you don't have the money to go and buy the, are you getting the absolute best youngsters? And making sure that your own team in the next 3 to 5 years can be incredible. Via homegrown talent? Or are you just signing these players to incubate them for somebody else and taking the small little pennies that you're getting there in order to try? Instead of either going as far as you can with those kids, which means that prices go a hell of a lot higher. And maybe you sell them overseas. Maybe your club is in a different place. Maybe you can get sponsorship from that. Or are you just going to sit? We need to become a footballing nation. When the honeymoon's over, there's questions you ask. When you start fighting, when they're no longer as pretty, eh? You now have to move into the harder conversations. And South African football has not moved into the harder conversations. That's where we're lacking. Guys, please don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe. I'm not here to be right. I'm here to put the conversation on the table so that we can start having them, so that we can start asking better questions, so that we can start implementing things a whole lot better. Maybe I'm speaking to Coach Asekazi. Just download those videos from Instagram. Send them to your players. Make sure that they're learning all of these things. If you also need to learn, there's plenty of courses and videos and this and that all over the place. The resources are all there, but it's up to us to use them and to look past where we are. You are not just a Kasi coach. You're getting some kids ready that are going to be the future of this football. You could be the future of this football. You're not just a PSL team. You could be the cornerstone of a Bafana Bafana. You could be a Kaizer Chiefs. Commercially, you could be a Sundowns success-wise. You're not just a player. You could be a Messi, a Ronaldo. You could be playing in all of those places. You don't have to just watch them on TV. You do this. So do it. If you can contribute towards the show, guys, please. That is well needed. Like I said, I'm not just spending money in jail. Upgraded sound, we're doing different things. I fixed my laptop, all because of the contributions that you guys make. The account number is in the description. So if you can spare something, it'll be much appreciated in order to keep our platforms going. Guys, thank you so much. I'll see you guys on the next one.